2 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 2. We're going to read two verses in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 in 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I'll read aloud as you read silently this morning. But if all of us would stand in honor of the Word of God this morning as we read the Word of God together, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and beginning at verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the opportunity we have, and the health and the strength to be here today. And God, we thank you for those that are listening on the internet today. I pray that you would work in all of our hearts now as we've tuned in and sit here today to hear from your Word what you have for us today. Now, Father, help us to be not only good listeners today, but obedient doers of what is preached. Work in our hearts and our lives today. Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with your Holy Spirit as he comes and speaks. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray today they would settle it before they leave this room. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, please check your cell phone and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate, please, and help us with that so it does not go off during the service this morning. Otherwise, all hope of heating will leave you for the rest of the winter. You won't get any heat in your car. You won't get any heat in your house. You'll have cold feet for the rest of your life. So help us there, please. We'd appreciate that very much. The subject this morning is vessels. Do you see that there in 2 Timothy? Vessels. Now, when it's talking about vessels, it talks about four kinds of vessels it mentions particularly. Those of gold and silver, those of wood and of earth. He's talking about vessels this morning. But he's talking about vessels the master can use. And he's talking about vessels, he's not talking about pots and pans and ornamentation that put on a shelf somewhere. He's talking about you and me. How we are like these vessels. Every marketplace you go to in the world, every place you go in this world, every household has vessels of some kind in it. Some are everyday vessels, things that they use every day in life. Some of them are ornamentation things that they put up on mantelpieces or in bookcases or in display places. But every household, no matter what it is, no matter how rich, how poor, no matter where you go in the world, has vessels in it. And God uses one of those everyday kind of items here to remind us that he wants us to be vessels. It says in verse 21, meet for the master's use. In other words, something that he can use. This year of 2013, I hope that every one of us this morning will get this idea that you are a vessel God wants to use. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, not me. I don't have any talents. I don't have any abilities. I mean, God couldn't do anything with me in my life. I assure you this morning, you are a vessel that God wants to use. A vessel is something that holds something for someone else. Just the idea of a vessel reminds us that our life is not our own. We're bought with a price. That it's not just about what we are for ourselves, it's what we are for someone else. Now, I guarantee you do any cooking at all, you have certain vessels you like to use over any others. There's certain ones and they're usually pretty well worn. There's something that you like to get your hey, I mean, it's amazing what they have today to use in cooking. I mean, they have all the specialty items that you can get now for cooking things. When you get right down to frying an egg, I guarantee you don't go for a specialty item. You go for that same old pot and pan, that same pan that you use for everything else. And it's a vessel that's for your use. Now, that's what God's trying to get across to us here. You see, but Pastor, God, there's nothing God could do with me in my life. I'm at that stage in life where most of my life is behind me instead of ahead of me. But you're still a vessel he could use, you know. What I want us to get this morning for this next year is that we need to be vessels for the Master's use. Now then, for that to be the case, number one, you have to be a purchased vessel. A purchased vessel. In other words, something that's been bought and paid for. Christian, do you know today that you have been bought with a price? You've been purchased by him. God came and sent his son Jesus to us. Jesus, God in human flesh, came and died for us on the cross to pay a price for our sins so he could purchase us for his use. And so I don't like that idea. That I want to be my own vessel. We'll get to that in just a moment. But let's be sure this morning that if you want to be a vessel God uses, you must first be a purchased vessel, one that he has paid a price for, a very precious price, by the way. It's interesting, when we've made some of these missions trips, we like to go to the places, the marketplaces that everyday people go to. They always have, most places anyway, have tourist area. I remember, I think it was in Uganda, we were in Africa. They had no tourist trinkets there. The place where we were was down in the interior of Africa in Uganda, and there was no trinkets to speak of. And the missionary we were with said, do you guys like to do a little shopping, buy some souvenirs? And I said, well, yeah, but we really don't want to go to a souvenir place, you know, a place for tourists. And he goes, Brother Johnson, tourists don't come here. We're out in the middle of nowhere. He goes, if you want something, we'd have to go to a marketplace. I said, marketplace is what we would prefer to do. I mean, when we were in Cairo in Egypt, we went to this one particular marketplace area that had to be 15, 20 blocks square. And there were booths, every 8 feet there was a booth of some kind selling something. And it was a place where the Egyptians went and did their purchasing also. But every place that you would go, I don't care how poor, how rich, how nice, how upscale or low scale it was, they all had vessels of some kind. And every one of them had a price. I like to go into a store sometime and you'll pick up an item, take it to the register, and they can't find the price tag on it. And I always say, it must be free. There's no price tag on this. Never got any free stuff out of that one either. But anyway, because everything has a price, agreed? So my friend, if you're going to be a vessel God uses, you must be his purchased vessel. That's a simple picture of salvation. That means you have accepted Jesus Christ's payment for your sin and for your salvation. Now that's important. You need to remember that. Say, oh yeah, I'm saved, Pastor Johnson. I trusted Christ. I accepted him as my personal Savior. Wonderful. Then remember that you are a purchased vessel. So when we get into this thing about vessels and what the Master wants to do with those vessels and his calling and his commands and the things he expects of his vessel, please remember, you are a purchased vessel. Purchased with the precious blood of Christ. I like those marketplaces that you go to where you get to negotiate prices for them. I remember going to a car lot here in town years ago. I always try to buy my stuff locally and support our local businesses and things. And I went to a car lot to purchase a car. And as I saw, you know, they'll have the price sticker on the car. And I saw the salesman. I said, look, I'm kind of in a hurry today. And I'm interested in purchasing a car. But I'm not really interested in spending a lot of time haggling on a price. I said, could you do me a favor? Could you just give me what your best price is for that car right there? And this is the first time I've ever seen this happen. He looked at me and he said, you see the price tag? He said, yeah. And he goes, we don't put those on there for nothing. And I said, you're going to tell me that's the asking price? You're going to sell the car? He goes, we don't put the price tag on for nothing. I said, you did on that car. See you, pal. And I turned around and walked off the parking lot. I said, everybody negotiates. He goes, that's not why we put the prices on there. I said, then I'm not buying a car from you. See you later. And I turned around and walked off the lot. You know, the truth is everything has a price, doesn't it? Now, we understand, look at me, we understand that about everything in life. And we understand that anything that you have, you've probably had to pay something to get it. And you don't have a problem. Now, listen, you don't have a problem with paying. We were at this place the other day. My wife was looking for a certain kind of a pot to use in the kitchen. And I said, hey, is that it right? Is that what you're looking for? She goes, that's pretty much it. Turn it over, $129. Now, some of you ladies are going, uh-huh. I'm sitting there going, uh-uh, $129 for a pot? You know how many rounds of golf I can get out of $129? You got to be kidding me. $129 for one of those stinking four-quart saucepan with a handle on it. I said, where's the gold in this thing? $129 for a pot? I said, honey, our whole house, we bought a whole house of furniture for $129 when we got married. You got to be kidding me. One pot for $100. I don't know how people pay bills nowadays. Thank God I live in church and don't have to deal with that. By the way, we did not buy a $129 pot. Let me just say that. Everything has a price. Yes, but look at me. And if you pay the price for it, you have a right to do with it what you want to. Agreed? Okay, then if you're a purchased vessel this morning, he has a right to talk to you about what his desire and design is for you. Because not only should you need to be a purchased vessel, you also need to understand you are a planned vessel. You know why she wanted to buy that pot? Cook in it. But a certain, you know, you have to cook certain things in certain pots and pans. Now, if you're a guy, you can cook anything in anything. Anything. It doesn't make a difference. Seriously, you can do a steak in a frying pan that big. It doesn't make any difference. You just reach in and grab whatever's there and use it. Now, ladies, you've got different size pots for everything that you do. When you go to the store and you buy a vessel, you're thinking in your mind before you buy it what you intend to do with it. Agreed? You don't just buy it because you like the shape and the color. You go, I need that pot for this reason because this is what I want to do with it. I want this vessel for this reason because this is what I have planned for that. Now listen to me, if you want to be a vessel God wants to use, then you must understand God planned something when he purchased you. He has a plan for your life. See, but Brother Johnson, now you're really getting me messed up. I thought getting saved just meant I go to heaven, that's all I had to be concerned about. That's all you need to enjoy in your Christian life. Now he has something for you to do. He purchased you for a reason. He had a plan for your vessel. For your life and what he wants to do with it. And I assure you, he said, I don't want that plan now. I've got my own plan for my life. You mean to tell me you could do something better with your life than God could? The creator of this universe. They just came out this week with a discovery of more planets, new planets that they have discovered. Man is still finding things God made thousands of years ago, not millions of years ago, thousands of years ago, when he spun those stars into their courses. Man, in all his wisdom and intelligence, and with all the great electronic abilities of his reach today, man is just now still finding things God made. You mean to tell me that the God who could make the expanse of this universe, put the sun out every morning, the moon and the stars out every night, hold an entire universe and cosmos together with the power of his word, you mean to tell me that God couldn't make you a better life than you could make? Don't you see the foolishness of that? Don't you understand this morning? He has plans for you, my vessel friend. There's something he wants for you to do. And I assure you, it's much better than you could imagine. It's much greater than you could think of. Man, I was driving. Back in the early days when very few people owned automobiles, a man in the Detroit, Michigan area purchased one of the first new automobiles that came off the assembly line at the Ford plant there. And it didn't run either. No, just kidding. So he purchased this car, and he was driving it down the road, and it died on him. And it was such a new thing to have an automobile. He didn't know how to get it started. So he kept working on it and trying to figure out, what did that guy show me, and blah, blah, blah. About that time, an older gentleman came walking by, and he said, sir, could I help you get your car started? And the guy looked at him like, I don't see you driving a car. No, I'll do it by myself. And the man said, okay, thank you. And he turned around and walked off. Do you know who that man was? It was Henry Ford, the guy who designed that thing and built it. And he had a chance to have the guy who designed it get the car started and get it running, but he wasn't smart enough to realize that there was the designer standing right there ready to help him get his car started. Now if your Ford breaks down, you got to call AAA, but we won't go into that this morning. The truth of the matter is, don't you understand? He purchased you with a plan in mind. No, God has no plan for me because I don't see that taking place. Then you need to be a presented vessel. You need to give what he purchased to him so he can do something with your life. Because see, that's it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Present your vessel to him. Yield to his use. Don't you understand this morning, my friend, all the purchase and plan of the Father goes to waste on a vessel that will not be allowed to be used. No, I've got my own agenda. I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to do this on my time. I'm going to do this the way I want to do it. And God fits in my plan. That's okay by me. You need to present your vessel to Him. Presented vessel is a useful vessel. See, look there in 2 Timothy. Now look at the verses again this morning. In verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Present yourself to Him. You say, well, I don't even know why God would want anything to do with me in my life. Do you look at me? Why do you think He purchased you? He must have seen something of value in you, and there is. But a vessel that won't yield to God is an unusable vessel. Don't you understand the greatest quality in the Christian life that makes Christians usable in the hands of God is their availability? I'm glad it's not about talents. Many of us are just not talented people. I'm glad it's not about intelligence. Many of us are not intelligent people. The rest go to Congress. I know that. I know how difficult it is. I know we think to ourselves, well, I can't do the things other people do. I don't have the abilities that other people have. But you know something? Those vessels, some are gold and silver. Some are wood and earth. Yet they all have a place. Listen, they all have a place and a purpose. And God will use a vessel that's used and made available to Him. It's a great old story, but it's true. D.L. Moody, a man who saw 1 million people come to Christ in his life and ministry, had less than a sixth grade education. But in a day and an age where there was no television or electronic means of any kind, D.L. Moody, through his simple preaching, saw 1 million people come to Christ. Bible colleges birthed, missionaries covering this earth. People work in ministry that was started under D.L. Moody then continues today. Incredible life. It all started when a simple young man, when he was a very young man, he heard a preacher say, God has never seen what the world could do with one person completely yielded to God. The world has never seen that before. And Moody said to himself, then by the grace of God, I'll be that young man. He wasn't trying to seek glory. He thought, my soul of availability, yieldedness to God, if that's what it takes, he said, I can do that. And he was yielded to God, and God used him mightily. A presented vessel. Then there's a purged vessel. Before anybody, you don't buy a pot or a pan or a vessel in a store and take it home and start eating out of it. You don't buy a plate or a fork or a cup. You don't do anything like that till you take it home and you wash it first, unless you're a single man. Then you don't even take the sticker off of it. You just fire away and keep going. Yes, that's right, fellas. Go ahead and shake your head just like that. Any single guy on this planet knows, looks clean to me. That's good enough, and you're off and running. You know, the truth is, you take it home, you wash it, you clean it, you do all sorts of things, because until it's clean, it's not usable to you or to anybody else. Purged, it says in verse 21. If a man will purge himself from these. See, God desires to use every vessel that He has purchased, but God desires also to purge those vessels so they are more usable for His work. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, purging in God's work is a couple of things. Obviously, it means cleaning things up. Do you understand the only thing between you and God's usefulness in your life is sin? Whatever I'm holding on to, I won't turn loose of, is what's preventing Him from cleaning my vessel so He can use it. Sin keeps a vessel from being useful. You've been in restaurants before and picked up a fork and had food on it. You never thought to yourself, well, that's extra food for my meal. You picked up a glass in a restaurant before and they poured water in that and you looked at it and there was parts floating around in there. Yesterday, I grows my granddaughter out the other day, Brooklyn. We were in the down in Santa Clara, and there's an area there called Milpitas. We call it Smelpitas. And there's a wastewater recycling plant right there by the freeway, and that place stinks down there all the time. And she said, what's a wastewater plant, Gramps? She's 7. I said, well, that's where they take the water from the toilet, they clean it up, and you drink it again. We were going to a restaurant and eat. She got out of the car, she goes, I feel sick to my stomach. I told her mom and dad, I said, I think I grossed her out. I'm sorry about that. I said, but Pookie, you want some water to drink? Oh, no, Gramps, no water, please. No. You never picked up a glass with stuff floating in there and went, well, it's on the bottom. I'll drink the top half. Right? Unless you were a single guy, and then you did it, and you know you did. The truth is, no. No, no, you don't eat off dirty vessels. You don't eat out of dirty vessels. You don't cook out of dirty vessels. You don't do that because you know what it means. It's contamination. Things have to be removed to be clean so they'll be properly used so you don't get disease and illness and sickness. And you wouldn't want to do that. You would have guests come over to eat at your house and put dirty things out in front of them and expect them to sit there and eat from it. You wouldn't expect to do that. Why would God use a vessel that is dirty because of sin? He won't use it. You purge the vessel. But it also means, look at me, it means it's a preparation process of things. There are some things in our life that are not sin, but they're not what the Master wants in the vessel. Is it a vase or a vase? I think if you're from America, it's a vase. If you're from Boston, it's a vase. I think I remember right. But you know, flowers just don't look good in a crock pot. I mean, it works. I remember years back, one of the ladies in our church had foot surgery, and we sent her some flowers. I said, put them in a boot. So they sent her flowers in an old combat boot. That's stupid, I know. It sounded funny to me. She didn't think it was funny. But it sounded funny. You know, it's interesting how the vessels, unless they're prepared properly, they're really not used for what they should be used for. You can't get the usefulness and effectiveness out of them. Purging isn't just cleaning it up. It means preparing it for the use you have for that. So some things have to go. Some things have to be removed. Some things have to be left behind. Some things have to stay. Some things have to be removed from our lives. That's all part of his purging process, you know. Let the Master clean up your life, my friend, so he can use you. Then there is a prosperous vessel. Aha, now you're talking about a gold and silver, as it talks about there. You know, truth of the matter is, a vessel on a shelf is nice to look at, but you really don't want to eat out of one of those things. You know the stuff you take out when company comes? You eat off paper plates all week long, and then company comes, you got to get it off of real plates, out of real cups. You know those silverware sets that you keep in the cabinet, and you only take them out at Thanksgiving and Christmas? Clean them up. Guests get to eat off of it. Your family's more surprised because they only see them once or twice a year. Go ahead and shake your head. You know what I'm talking about. But everyday things are things that get used often. Do you know what a prosperous vessel is? It's not the quality of it. It's the usefulness. It says in verse 21, meat for the master's use. Usefulness is what makes a vessel valuable. Usefulness. Most guys have their cup that they use. It's a certain cup. Usually has a handle on it. It will hold anywhere from 82 to 142 ounces of some liquid. And it's a certain cup. And if you get the cup that's not the one that you normally use, you want to know what happened to your cup. Only to find out the kids are out in the backyard in the sandbox digging around in the sandbox with it, which is, makes you very unhappy. You don't care about, you know, use the china. I don't care, but give me that cup, kid. Don't ever take it out in the backyard again. It's a usefulness thing to you. There are certain things. Hey, I'm sorry, but there are certain spoons I like over other spoons. There are things that make them useful, that make them valuable. Usefulness is where your value is. Meat for the master's use, prepared, it says in verse 21, unto every good work. Our usefulness to be a help and a blessing to others is where our value is found. Brother Justin's wedding on Friday night. I see the brother and Miss Evans' son Justin getting married. What a great young man. We were went back. I was telling the folks yesterday in the soul with me. I went in the back with Brother Ray, the pastor was marrying them, and I was going to just say a word and pray and get out of the way. And they didn't have a way to get me off the platform, so I stood up there for the whole wedding. And we're standing in the back with Justin. Bless his heart. Justin was nervous. How many guys were nervous at your wedding? You remember? You're unconscious, some of you. One guy said he wasn't nervous. He's lied to. But Justin was nervous. Oh, my soul. His hand was shaking. And I walked back in the back room, waiting room there for him, and the door opens. I said, Justin. I call him Big Red. Big Red, how are you doing? And I went to give him a hug. That boy grabbed me and about broke my neck. I mean, he squeezed me so hard. I said, okay, Justin, let go now. And he was laughing and giggling. His lips looked a little dry, and I said, boy, you got to get ready for a big kiss coming up here. You got any chapstick? Grease up. He goes, I got it. Pulls it out of his hands. And he's just rubbing it all over his face. He was nervous. That boy was nervous. I remember that when I was getting married, I was sitting in the back room with my head between my knees, so I thought I was going to pass out. And see him standing there, and this fine young lady come. They got married. Thinking back over the years of just the little pieces of his life that we got to have a part in. 32 years? 32 years? I'll ask his mom. 32 years old? 32? He doesn't know. Your other son, Justin, remember that guy you saw right now? Okay, good. That's a father. 32 years. See, being a vessel is one thing. Being useful in somebody's life, that's when a vessel's worth something. That's prosperity now. You think about that for a moment. If the value of your life is what you get for you in your life for what you want, to get what you want, to have what you want, you're a vessel on a shelf somewhere. You're just something to look at. I'd rather be one of those wooden earth vessels that just gets used every day. Something that benefits somebody and does something for somebody else. That provides something more than just for me and my existence. That gives you, say, well, I go to work and I take care of my family. Wonderful. Thank you for being a useful vessel. But let's be real for a moment. If that's all you do, you know you're benefiting from that as much as they are. What are you doing for somebody else? What is the usefulness of your life? There is prosperity. Meat for the master's use and prepared for every good work. The last thing about these vessels thing is this. You need to be a patched vessel. See, sometimes they get broken, don't they? Psalm 31 and verse 12, David said, I'm like a broken vessel. Some vessels are broken beyond repair. They just simply have to be discarded. But some vessels, they're so valuable that when they're damaged, the master will do everything he can to keep that vessel in functional use. You see, when it says a vessel to honor and a vessel to dishonor in verse 20, it doesn't mean good and bad. It means a vessel that could be used for certain things, and there are some vessels that can only be used for just a certain amount of items. Oftentimes, something that's really good and valuable that you once used a lot winds up in the garage with a bunch of nails and screws and bolts in it. But it's still usable. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you a vessel the master needs to patch up, put some things back together, restore what once was usefulness in your life to usefulness again? He's still in the business of doing that, you know. He told the potter there in Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and see. And when he tried to work a vessel with his hands, it was marred in the hands of the potter, the Bible says, not by the hands of the potter, in the hands of the potter. So he made it again to another vessel. And that became useful. I'm glad the potter doesn't throw away the clay. I'm glad if I'm willing to say, okay, God, I did some things with my life that I shouldn't, and I need you to repair this vessel for your use in some other way. He is in the business. He's a great God of a second chance. He's a great God of taking a vessel that was once used, that got broken, and fix it and put it back into his work again. Vessels meet for the master's use. All we have to do is present him the vessel he purchased. He'll do something amazing with it. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.